You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back. We are visiting for a full hour with one of the nation's most astute analysts and strategic thinkers when it comes to our military, the challenges it's facing, and what we had better be doing to ensure that it's up to them. He is Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, United States Marine Corps retired, now a senior research fellow at the Heritage Foundation. But he comes to that with two decades of work in the Marine Corps, including in its headquarters, planning and executing plans for our nation's security. And Dakota, you were just going through a very illuminating analysis of what China is up to and how its sea lines of communication are extending the areas of operation that it must cover as it sees it, including with a new base, I gather, they're building in Djibouti that would give them the ability to project power into much of that ocean area that you're talking about they're concerned about. But I'd like to also ask, as you see it, about their nuclear program as well. I know they're very cagey about the extent of it, not quite as direct in their threats, though periodically there have been occasional threats from the Chinese on their nuclear fronts. But what do you make of what they're up to in that area and what it might mean, again, for American security?
Yeah, exactly right in terms of being cagey and how they kind of hold or play their cards very close to the vest as opposed to some of the other countries, North Korea and Iran, aspirational developing those capabilities. But it appears that China is getting very serious about maturing their capabilities, and that the second artillery used to be the organization that controlled these strategic nuclear arms. And again, in this past year, they've reorganized and retitled it and given it more prominence as a standalone organization, something apart from or different than the conventional PLA forces. So I think it's indicative of the seriousness with which they approach this capability, the maturing of their command and control structures. We the U.S., have done a lot to try to understand the decision-making processes and the systems that the Chinese would use to employ nuclear weapons, but they're very close hold on that stuff, and it's difficult to ferret that out. But again, raising their strategic forces to the level that they are indicates the seriousness.
Our guest is Dakota Wood of the Heritage Foundation, the editor of the 2016 Index of U.S. Military Strength. You know, there's one other facet of this that fascinates and frankly alarms me, and that is the reported investment they've made in something on the order of 3,000 miles of underground hardened tunnels, in which apparently they deploy God only knows what, presumably nuclear weapons and the missiles with which to deliver them, among other things. What is your take on what that says about their commitment to this nuclear enterprise, not necessarily in the deterrent mode, but perhaps of an offensive character as well?
Yeah, with countries that do such extensive tunneling, Iraq was into that. Iran is certainly invested in that. Russia, to a limited extent. But the Chinese really take the cake in their tunneling capabilities and expertise. But you can do things in secret with vast underground complexes. So, missile assembly, development, testing, maintenance, all that stuff can occur out of sight of satellites or human intelligence operatives. It also allows you to ready capabilities in secret without external kinds of activities that might alert somebody like the United States that something is going on. And it also, by virtue of the tunneling and embedding things in mountain sizes, hardens your facilities, which gives you a survivable second strike capability. If you think back, you've got this experience, the old Cold War doctrine. It wasn't just the first salvo, but you had to be able to take a hit from your opponent and have a second strike option as well. And the Chinese have certainly developed that. So secrecy, security, second strike, which means that it's not just a defensive posture, But they retain the ability to actually engage in some kind of a significant exchange if it came to that. And so that has both a deterrent value that hopefully prevents somebody from attacking you, or if it does ratchet up, then your potential opponent has to be concerned about all of his land, you know, being vulnerable to a strike, you know, that you can't take out your enemy's capabilities in one full swoop.
Dakota, if you would talk about the Chinese activities in space and what you think that portends, particularly for a nation like ours, which is so dependent on space for both civilian and military purposes.
Right. So there's a couple, three things. One is the anti-satellite capability. So if the United States is always playing the away game, our forces are deployed thousands of miles from home, critically reliant on satellite-based communications or exchanging the kinds of information that allow precision-guided warfare, as the U.S. practices it, to occur, you know, to command and control widely distributed forces. So if China could neutralize that capability, both by taking out the communications relays, overhead satellite imagery, and the PNT, the precision navigation and timing capabilities that allow GPS-guided things to happen, it certainly keeps the U.S. from conducting operations. So they have been testing. If you remember a couple of years ago, they did a shot that supposedly they were taking out an aging weather satellite, but most analysts believe it was a test of an anti-satellite missile that could be used in a military conflict. So they've certainly developed that capability, the ability to blind and dazzle as well. The second one is their own communications network, as well as their GPS equivalent, the Beta Owl system. And I believe they just had a recent launch here, which all but completed that satellite architecture, which gives them something that's independent of a U.S.-driven GPS satellite architecture that provides global coverage. So the Beta Owl system handles everything over the Asia region, Asia Pacific, extending down into the Australia area, and it would enable the Chinese to conduct independent operations in a state of heightened conflict.
And in terms of their larger ambitions in space, do you see military dominance of the heavens, perhaps as a platform from which to attack the Earth, also being part of what they have in mind?
There have been discussions on that, you know, as well as manned space programs, but certainly this weaponizing of the heavens has been discussed. I don't know the extent to which that they have attempted to do that, you know, clandestine or a covert mode, but it's certainly been discussed. And there has been this agreement among the space-capable powers that outer space would not be weaponized, but that's, you know, that's goodwill. I mean, there's nothing preventing somebody from doing that. It certainly has our planners concerned.
The space-capable powers, as you put it, now include North Korea. They recently launched, as you know, a satellite that overflew the Super Bowl site. Dakota Wood, as you look at North Korea and its nuclear weapons tests and more generally what that so-called hermit kingdom is up to, how would you characterize it as a problem for the United States?
Very aggressive. You know, they have military powers prize, so their people starve while they're building weapons. And this latest launch, again, interpreted as not just putting a usable satellite up, but the missile technology that makes that possible, which extends the range of their ballistic missile capabilities to something like 13,000 kilometers, covers the entire United States and on down into Central America. So if you combine that with their atomic or nuclear program, they would then have a missile capable of taking a nuclear warhead to any target within the United States. So it's a worrisome development. There's also the potential of that nuclear package being used as an EMP weapon, and the U.S. so critically dependent on electronics. Again, it's another thing in their arsenal.
We'll be right back with more with Dakota Wood and what we need to be doing about these threats and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.